interstates from what I've heard. Safe at work. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing into the divine in the center of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, fully furnished unto all good works. Instead, show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This evening, to the doctrine of Satan, the satanic counterfeits, we'll pick up on Numo 8, page 8. All right, as is our practice, if you expect to benefit from the next hour Bible class, you need to make sure your STA is in its cage, so to speak. We're able to put it in its proper place, put God the Holy Spirit in rulership over our lives, our souls, experientially, through the rebound technique, where we acknowledge our known personal sins, unknown known personal sins of God. He's faithful and just, forgives us of our sins, and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We are in a state of spirituality. It places us in a position for God the Holy Spirit to therefore enlighten us via our human spirit to the truth of Bible doctrine. Otherwise, it will be taken in and discerned through the sin nature, and it will be distorted in some human viewpoint fashion that appeals to the STA otherwise. Only in this way can we at least have the opportunity to understand the truth of Bible doctrine undistorted by Satan's world and his cosmic viewpoint in contrast and contradiction to it. So with that in mind, we'll give you the opportunity to rebound as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for your plan. We thank you for provision, for positive volition. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for God the Holy Spirit. We ask once again this evening the enlightenment to these things at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Satan as a created being has a future, a destiny, as all created beings that possess a soul or volition. Man and angelic both. In Roman numeral 8 here, just to pick up in our notes to get through this, having this, then your doctrine of ST3, having it at the ready if we get through this evening, deals with the future of Satan, essentially from our present time forward. The plan and policy of evil. God has a policy and plan. Satan has one in contradiction and antagonism to God. And the plan and policy of evil, which Satan has promoted in the past and continues to propagate in the present, will continue to gain momentum among negative volition on planet Earth. Again, how Satan controls and rules over men is through the sin nature and negative volition that is willing to line up with the desires of the flesh, as well as the human viewpoint that accompanies the STA in its rationale and rejection of the truth. So negative volition, obviously, is dominant in regards to planet Earth, as it has been throughout history, essentially. And Satan's plan will gain momentum through that negative volition. So we are entering, in our time and age, the most intensified stage of the church age, this being in the Laodicean period, as we are, by all indications, by all prophecies being fulfilled, etc., time period, at the end of the church age, this generation that we live in. And the angelic conflict is heating up, as any person who is even fairly astute can see out there in the cosmos and even through our own society. And it is intensifying, and is a time when all aspects of evil and brutality are on the increase. It is not anything that catches us unaware, because the Bible has forewarned us, the scriptures, in this respect, 2 Timothy 3, 1-5. But know this, we're commanded to acquire knowledge, and this is an important piece of information that we are to recognize and realize in regards to the conditions of the cosmos around us in the last days. So, but know this, that in the last days, perilous, if you will, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self. We see here a list of STA manifestations, and these STA manifestations will become more and more unbridled, more freely permitted to exist and impact regards to societies and people around them, and obviously the direct impact that it has on positive volition in this regard. They will be lovers of self. That means they're self-centered. They have one priority, one God in their minds. That's me. See, me, myself, and the other person. Lovers of money. Obviously, the big thing in our society. And we obviously have many and much opportunity to pursue money in regards to the society that we live in this regards. But making nothing wrong in money in and of itself, but making it your God, putting it at the expense of Bible doctrine, obviously makes it your God. Boastful of what one accomplishes. We see this in Hollywood, in the athletic fields, things of this nature. Arrogant, literally blasphemers, revilers, talking, you know, bad about Bible doctrine, God, things of this nature. Disobedient to parents, and each generation seems to turn the heat up a little bit more in their rebellious attitudes in this respect. Obviously, a lot of that comes back on the parents' heads because they are not willing to apply their proper discipline in this respect. But you let the STA reign free, and it will take itself to the extent that it can get away with. Ungrateful for the aspects of God's blessings and grace that He provides for all men. Never happy, in other words. If you're ungrateful, then you're generally a miserable person. Unholy, obviously, pursuing unrighteousness. Unloving, that's without natural affection, literally, in regards to others. Don't have any respect in regards to other people's property, lives, things of this nature. No real compassion for others. Irreconcilable. Stubborn. They're not going to change. It's like talking to a brick wall. See, malicious gossips, slanderers, without self-control. All the binge tactics that you see in all aspects of life, whether it's pursuit of details, party time, other things of this nature. Brutal. Haters of good. And this is not human good, this is divine good. The good that God sets forth in regards to mankind. Obviously, a lot of these people that fall within these category of STA cases will even employ, you know, humanitarian applications in their own lives. Helps, you know, cover their evil. One always pops in my mind is like the Shriners. Shriners, you know, if you know anything about Shriners, these people are twisted, STA perverted in this regard. But, oh man, do they give a lot of money in regards to children in children's hospitals. Why? Obviously, they recognize the principle, you do what you do, comes back to you. And even in Satan's world, that principle holds true in this regard. But they are haters of divine good, based on the fact that they do it apart from the divine restraints and commands placed upon those who are otherwise righteous. Treacherous, reckless. Even that's even getting more and more. Used to be Evel Knievel was the exception. Now he's the norm in regard to people. And you see these stupid idiot shows like Jackass and things of this nature. People out there are going out there intentionally hurting themselves, putting themselves in harm's way just for the thrill of it, they call it, for the stupidity of it. Obviously, these people, a lot of these people must not have had much of a childhood. to kind of that kind of STA running them. Of course, people can go into their STAs even if they come out under a proper parental setting, conceited lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Bible class is fine as long as it's convenient type of mentality. You know, I'll nod to God in the religious world if it's convenient. But the pursuit is Funsville, really, for my life. Holding to a form of godliness, their human good crust. Although they have denied His power of God, the Holy Spirit, and the truth of Bible doctrine, being in fellowship, and all these other things we understand in regards to the power of God's godliness through the person of Jesus Christ, and avoid such men as these. They are coming out of the woodwork all over the place. They're like roaches on this planet. And we've got a bad infestation, and it's only going to get worse. See? And that respect until Christ comes down and brings His roach killing equipment with him. So we are entering the most intensified stage of the church age. The distractions out there are too numerous for me to come up here and address individually. We'd be here forever to get people and keep people distracted regards to the truth, you know, especially with modern technology, the convenience of travel, and things of this nature. The easy access in order to pursue these things. See, it is the time just prior to Christ's return. It is time when scoffers are prevalent. Again, recently referring to 2 Peter 3, 3-7 in regards to the human viewpoint, anti-creationists that exist, the evolutionists. And every time you hear evolution propagated and held to in regards to any type of science show or any other show with respect to creation, these are nothing but blasphemers in rejection of true creationism, of the true God that created the universe that we're in. And the world, falls under this huge lie in regards to this overall. Know this, first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking evolution. Obviously, the principle has been around for centuries, but it has become prevalent within our last past century. And again, gaining momentum. A theory that is generally pushed and propagandized as a fact across the board now. Days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lust. The STA driven, that's what they're all about in regards to their negative volition. And saying, where is the promise of this coming? That's one thing they'll do, they'll take a pot shot in regards to the doctrine. For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. And these are the types that look at essentially time has always been the way it's been. And that times existed forever, if you will. For when they maintained this, it escaped their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and by water. That's creation, the restoration, in this respect. Through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water. But the present heavens and earth by His word are being reserved for fire. First mass judgment on the planet was through water. God promised that would not occur again. But He didn't say it wouldn't be judged again. It will be, and this time by fire. Kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. So all of these things are clue and evidence given to the believer to validate the truth of prophecy being fulfilled that we see in front of us. So D, our age will end with the rapture of all believers. This event is immediately followed by the appearance of the Antichrist, the man of sin that will take apostasy to new heights. And in the church age, God will vomit the latter church out of His mouth, and hence that represents the rapture occurring for the entire church. And we enter into We cease, desist the church age dispensation that began the day of Pentecost in 33 A.D. and re-entered back into Daniel's 70th week, the final 7 years of Daniel's prophecy of 70 weeks. And at that point in time is when the Antichrist will appear. We'll deal with that, the Antichrist, again, when we get to 2 Thessalonians. Now, when chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, now we request you, brothers, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, that's obviously the rapture, that you may not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us, to the fact that the day of the Lord has come. The day of the Lord looks at the period of the tribulational period. And already you had these fakes out there, and people obviously trying to con other people that they're teaching that they were in this period already of history, and they had the support of the Apostle Paul and others in this respect. So you've got to really be on guard, and this has already occurred early on in the church age, and Paul has to warn this local church, and he says these things are fake. I've taught you the true doctrine, and he reminds them here in 2 Thessalonians the true doctrine in this regards. That is, you've got to have history pass by the finish of the church age, i.e., and then these things will occur. When that happens, the Antichrist, best candidate to date, Alexander the Great, will be resuscitated from the dead. He will find position in the European Union in some capacity, will gain power. Satan is going to throw all of his weight and force and power behind him, as he will then seek to, under ultimately the possession of Satan, to become the god of this world. So he, at the third year, first month of the tribulation, remembering back in Revelation, going through this chronology, Satan is barred from the third heaven, and he and his army of demons are confined to planet Earth. There's an angelic star war that occurs essentially commensurate with the destruction of the U.S. And at that point in time, you have a five-month period where the demons who were confined to Tartarus, who engaged in the illicit infiltration of the female sex and procreation pre-flood and their judgment, apart from that, are released for a five-month period. And Satan no longer has access to the throne room to accuse and solicit harm upon Paul's volition and otherwise from God. And planet Earth becomes his only place of habitation then. And he's restricted in his movement. So this pictures, if you will, where all of his power, all of his interest and focus will be truly centered in on. There's no distraction of the third heaven anymore. He's confined to planet Earth, and he is going to be mad, and he's going to take his wrath out in that regards. That situation, that scenario is recorded for us in Revelation 12. As a great sign and appeared in heaven, verse 1, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and her head a crown of 12 stars. This is actually an astrological sign under the sign of Virgo, represents Israel, etc. And she was with child. She cried out, being in labor and pain to give birth. That would be Messiah. And another sign appeared in heaven. That's, behold, a great red dragon, that's Satan, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems, looking at the powers and kingdoms of which he will utilize in seeking to take control and usurp Jesus Christ in rulership over this planet. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven, threw them to the earth, as a third of the angels, his demons, followed in his footsteps. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child, as we saw here in our doctrine through Herod the Great, through an act of genocide on Jewish male children up to 2 years old. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations. So it is Christ. With a rod of iron, that's a righteous rulership. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne, looking at the first advent and his resurrection and ascension. And the woman fled into the wilderness. So he's at the third. He's in the third heaven, the right hand of God, waiting for the proper time, second advent, for his full reappearance and return back to earth. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so there might be nourished for 1,260 days. That's the last 3.5 years of the trip. And at this point in time, there was a war in heaven, and Michael's angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough as the dragon. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan. He deceived the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And you can read the rest of the verses on your own. F, he will personally enter and possess the Antichrist. Antichrist becomes satanically possessed, embarking on a campaign of anti-Semitism designed to eliminate true Israel. He in Revelation brings these things out. Revelation 12, verses 13 through 17. The dragon saw that he was thrown down to earth. He persecuted the woman, that's Israel, who gave birth to the male child. And then you have deliverance for some of the citizens of Israel in this regard, etc. So he is after them, and then chapter 13, the first part of that chapter deals with the Antichrist, the beast from the sea, and he is after anyone who will not fall down and worship him in this regard, to paraphrase it. So G, through the Antichrist, Satan will receive the worship of mankind he so desperately seeks. It's prophesied in the Old Testament, in Daniel 12, 8 through 13. As for me, I, Daniel, heard but could not understand, so I said, my Lord, what will be the outcome of these events? As Daniel's, most of his book is prophetic and dealing with the end times, the tribulational period, etc. That's still part of the subject of verse 12 here. And he said, go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time. Not all aspects that was revealed to Daniel. He was given perks into doctrine, but not all aspects were allowed to be recorded. We'll see these things when it's appropriate. We'll hear about them, etc. He said, many will be purged, verse 10, purified and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly. You'll still have population that comes out of all this turmoil, all this evil, the press of God's judgment, etc., will bring out positive volition. But negative will still be negative, and none of the wicked will understand. But those who have insight will understand. Hence the importance of doctrine, especially today. From the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished, and the abomination of desolation is set up, where the Antichrist puts his image in the temple in Israel as Christ's replacement, see, to be worshipped in that regards. There will be 1,290 days. How blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to the 13 and the 35 days. That looks at the entire period in regards to the second advent, the return of Christ, the purging of unbelievers from the planet, the cleansing of the temple, and introducing in the new millennial period. You have the resurrection of Old Testament saints that occur during that time, so there is a time span lapse going into the millennial age, etc. But as for you, go your way to the end, then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. Old Testament saints promise SG-free, just like we are. Also Matthew 24:15-22, 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4, Revelation 13:4-8, and 15H. At the second advent, Satan leads the Antichrist just prior to his Antichrist destruction. As the Antichrist brings together all the nations for the great battle of Armageddon, Christ will defeat him, secure him, along with the false prophet. And when the Antichrist is ready to meet his doom, Satan demons out of his body, gets out of his body, depossesses him in that respect. Revelation 19:20. Can't believe I still remember Vietnamese. Weird. 19:20, in regards to the beasts and army, the kings and armies and beasts with seas, verse 20, with him the false prophet that performed the signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast, those who received his image. These two, false prophet and the Antichrist, were thrown alive into the lake of fire which burns with brimstone. They are the first residents of the eternal lake of fire. Even before Satan and his demons, they get to go there in solitary. You love evil, you can love yourself in this condition. And at that point in time, obviously Satan no longer possesses him. For Satan at that point in time begins the millennium, and what happens to Satan, he lays hold of the dragon, 20 chapter verse 2, the serpent of old who is the devil, and Satan bound him for 1,000 years. That's in the abyss, not in the Sheol abyss, not in the lake of fire. So I is apprehended and incarcerated for 1,000 years in the abyss, Revelation 21-3. He is released from following the 1,000 years and immediately demonstrates that he is incorrigible by instigating a final worldwide rebellion against the perfect rulership of Christ. So, another part of history. More doctrine is going to be revealed after the church age, going into the tribulational period. We are given bits and pieces of this insight. Essentially, all we know is that the Antichrist will be released and there will be one final great rebellion, as he will take negative volition that exists on this planet, unbelievers, even during the reign of Christ for 1,000 years. And once again, use them as his weapons and tools to attack God's plan. Revelation 27:8 records that for us. The rebellion is crushed by God, and Satan is cast into the lake of fire, already prepared for him, joining the Antichrist and false prophet, already suffering there. So there'll be Satan will be the next to join them, and then following right behind that will be all the other unbelievers of humanity and the demons. That's Revelation 20, verse 10. The devil who deceived him after the 1,000-year releasement and the final battle of Gog and Magog, verse 8, was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are also. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So he will be there tormented day and night forever and ever, Revelation 20:10. Alright, so Roman numeral 9, now conclusions of the doctrine. Satan was a creature created by God with incredible assets and placed in a unique position of authority and splendor. Essentially the highest position of authority among the angelic beings, and the most beautiful of the created angelic beings by all indications in Scripture. He forfeited his position through negative volition. Satan, as well as the angels, are all created with free will, rejecting God, opting for his own arrogance and self-will under pride. Got his eyes on self. See, as such, he introduced sin and the existence of the sin nature into the world of God's created. So he can be accredited with creating something that's evil. So D, He has been tried and sentenced to the lake of fire, however, is free on appeal. Human history is the extension and resolution of the angelic conflict. During this period, Satan's appeal will be resolved, and God's sentence will be proved to be righteous, fair, and just. And evil will be done away once and for all, if you will, in regards to mankind's history. So God allows Satan to continue to operate for a time in order to give a demonstration of the bankruptcy, spiritual bankruptcy, as well as moral, of Satan's thinking and the depravity of Satan's actions. Satan is a ruler. H, Satan is, however, finite, and his kingdom is limited to those who are negative. He cannot coerce or control one's will. So the entire negative world is in his trap, held captive, obviously, through their own negative volition, to do his will. 1 John 5:19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, in his domain. While Satan is the source of all overt temptations and evil in the world, he can only rule through the individual's own negative volition and the SCA. To choose to reject the truth, to let our sin nature, our flesh, rule us, that's how Satan is able to control us. And obviously, we are able to overrule him sufficiently to conquer and have victory over him throughout time if we hang in there with Bible doctrine and remain positive. And like any battle, there are setbacks. Gets the best of us, if you will, a system. As he may render us POW temporarily, God, through Christ's work on the cross, God has given us access for escape through grace, and simply rebound and just get your act back together spiritually and maintain doctrine and pursue it in course. It's okay. Christ's work on the cross tactically neutralized Satan's rulership for those that are positive. You've got to choose to want to line up with God's plan and detach yourself from allowing Satan to rule over you. John 12:31-33. The judgment of this world is now. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. This is Christ speaking. And he's looking at the point of his ministry, of which he will go in and secure the defeat of Satan tactically, spiritually, legally, through his work on the cross. And his work on the cross is brought out in the terms, verse 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He will supplant Satan spiritually, any claim and control that Satan has in regards to man, and ultimately rules over them. But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. And 34, the multitude therefore answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ is to remain forever, and how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" The doctrine just flies right over as they reject and only had their eyes on the physical glory of the kingdom, of them, first and foremost, the spiritual glory. 16:11. Conviction of God, the Holy Spirit, first and foremost, begins with sin, verse 9, because they do not believe in me, that's the sin of unbelief. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, you no longer behold me. Need for God's righteousness is in Christ, faith in him, who is in heaven. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Satan may have been able to bring the physical consequences upon Christ and his humanity, but he could not stop the spiritual realities. And that's one of the principles. That principle falls right in line with what we've been dealing with in Thessalonians, that there is no power that can overcome the spiritual realities, which everything is obviously tied to physically. And therefore, your persecutors cannot do anything to stop your part of volition and God fulfilling, God making provision and you fulfilling God's plan in your life. They can't touch it. They can't touch the spiritual realities because God's in control of that. And no more than Satan could render physically upon Christ, denying him of completing his mission as Messiah. Okay, well, I'm going to be crucified. That's the way we'll bear sins. That's God and his plan. God was, is always one step ahead of us. At least one step. One step ahead of Satan, always. It's a pretty big step. L, failure for the believer to separate from friendship with Satan's domain. Those who support him, etc., under negative volition, aid and abet this most notorious enemy of God. Again, how many times have we seen James 4:4? You want to be friends with negative volition. Embrace them. In regards to the cosmos, and you're an enemy of God, you are on the side of Satan. You aid and abet the enemy. And you want to hobnob and cater to the negative crowd. And the prescription given for dealing with Satan is summarized succinctly in James 4:7, which we write out and end the doctrine with, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.